About 30 years ago, my wife Mary, who's with us this morning, came home with a CD, remember these, by an artist, American country artist called Kathy Mattea. And this CD contained the song we've just listened to, Mary, Did You Know? And it's a Christmas CD, and Mary loves to pull out Christmas CDs at Christmas. Can't say I'm that chuffed, however, we're democratic-ish in our house. And Mary gets to listen to her CDs. I'm pretty good, probably about 3 days in a year. So Mary, Did You Know? Was on this CD, and it got me thinking. I'm so used to the Christmas story. I'm so used to the Bible passages that we use in Nativity. That I didn't actually stop to think, what did Mary know? Did Mary have any idea of who the baby she was carrying was to become? Did young Mary know that her son would be the saviour of the world? As I listened to the words of that song properly, I found myself thinking, just what did Mary know? But more to the point, what did she not understand? What did she not understand? Mary was a simple Jewish girl, born to Hannah and Joachim in the village of Nazareth up in Galilee. Nazareth was a nowhere town. You know, it was nothing special. Just a standard wee town. A bit like Edinburgh, really, but some of you will get that. Mary's folks were good. They were good, hard-working folk. And their only claim was that they were descendants of the great King David. Apart from that, there was nothing special about them. Mary would have been about 14 years old when she became pregnant. She was also at the same time that she became engaged to a young carpenter named Joseph. During this year of engagement, Mary and Joseph would have been chaperoned everywhere they went. They were never left alone for any length of time, and this was in line with Jewish law, which ensured they remained pure until their marriage. One day, an angel named Gabriel visited Mary. The angel told Mary that she was to become the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of the living God. You know, it must be said that Gabriel wasn't exactly bringing good news to Mary. Oh, we call it good news because it's good news to us. But to Mary, it must have been disastrous. A young, unmarried, pregnant girl in Mary's day risked disaster. She certainly risked losing her fiancé. I mean, that was taken. Can just imagine her going to Joseph and said, Joseph, something to say. I'm pregnant. But I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit and it's God's will. Can just see Joseph going, oh, well, that's okay then. You know, horrible idea. Just the news must have been devastating. A family would have put her out. She'd brought dishonour on her family. There was every chance she was going to be shown the door. Her reputation was over. Even her life was at risk. She risked being stoned for being an adulteress. And she's 14. She's 14. If she told people she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, who would believe her? But Mary's response was, her faithful response was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Luke 1:38. Mary's willingness to be obedient to God, despite the risks, was a miracle in itself. It was a credit, and her faith is an example to all of us. God created a single fertilized egg, barely visible to the naked eye, and a baby began to take shape in this nervous teenager. As the poet John Donne described it, immensity cloistered in thy dear womb. Immensity. That's the right word. Because Jesus is God and can't be contained by any human concept. So what did Mary know about her situation? Well, there were some important things that Mary did know. First, she knew that God used humble people for mighty purposes. God uses humble people for mighty purposes. Later in Luke chapter 2, Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with a baby. And Elizabeth's baby would become John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. As the two women talked, Mary said, "Despite my humble status, all future generations will call me blessed." Verse 48. Despite my humble status. Mary knew who she was. Mary knew she was nothing special. Just a wee girl from Nazareth. The world would never have guessed that God Almighty was hidden away in the womb of a young girl. In the eyes of the world, Mary was nothing. Nothing special. But God made her the most blessed of all women. There's a lesson there for us. Never think of yourself as someone of little worth. Don't ever think you're not good enough for God to use. Good enough for God to love. Because every one of us, everyone here is potential. Everyone here can be used by God. Never think you're not good enough, ever. Never limit yourself. Never assume you've got no gift or talent. It's funny in the church that we tend to have a hierarchy of talents, don't we? In some churches, hopefully not here, the minister tends to be at the top of the tree. Oh, it's the minister, you know, doff the cap. And somehow the person who makes the tea is, well, they just make the tea. There's no just about it. The minister can bore you to death, as I'm trying to do. But the person who makes the tea is the very person who makes a visitor come back next week. They're the ones who make the person come back. I went to that church. The minister droned on for 25 minutes. But nobody spoke to me. You're not going to come back. Oh, I got a cup of tea and folk chatted to me. They're lovely folk. I'm going back next week. Never think you don't have gifts or talents that God can use. God's got a habit of using the most unlikely people to accomplish his wonderful works. The second thing that Mary knew was that she was a virgin. She would have been all too aware of that. She was old enough to understand human biology. When Gabriel delivered the momentous news she was to be the mother of the Messiah, she asked only one question. How can this be since I am a virgin? You know, when I was training, before I came to Claremont, I had an assessment placement. I'm not going to mention where or with whom. But the minister I was training with didn't believe in the miracles. He was quite a clever chap. And he said, "You don't believe in the virgin birth, do you?" I went, "Well, yeah." He said, "Oh, Mike, come on. You believe that the Holy Spirit impregnated a teenager?" I went, "Well, yeah, I kind of do, yeah. Uh-huh." He said, "Gosh, you'll be telling me that Jesus walked in water next. I'm not kidding, this isn't a joke." And I said, "Well, yeah, I believe that too." I said, "Because this isn't some human interaction. This is God. And there's nothing God can't do." It amazes me that some Christians have trouble believing in clear biblical teaching that Jesus was born to a virgin. Some folk, "Well, my intellect tells me that can't happen. If I can't understand it, it didn't happen." There are so many things that I don't understand that happened. The virgin birth is one of them. But these brilliant people will tell you, don't believe anything you can't rationally comprehend. You know, there are many things we can't understand. I don't understand how a seed germinates. You know, somebody can give me the biological and scientific theory, but I don't understand it. I don't understand where the sky ends. I don't understand why people love each other. I don't understand that, but I accept it. I don't think we can call ourselves Christian without believing in the miracles, because right at the centre of the gospel is the miracle of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, if you do not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, your faith is dead. If you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, your faith is dead. The resurrection of Christ is central to the Christian faith. If we can't believe in the resurrection, we believe in a dead Christ. And that is ridiculous. So if it's only through Christ's resurrection that we find the promise of eternal life for all believers. So if we believe in the resurrection, then the miracle of the virgin birth isn't any great challenge. It certainly wasn't a challenge for God. The doctrine of the virgin birth is important for two reasons. It tells us that Jesus was God's son long before he was conceived in Mary's womb. It took me, I'm still learning, it took me years to go from a housing officer to a minister. Jesus didn't have to practice or be trained to become the Son of God. He was present with God before the world was created. Read the first chapter of John's Gospel, it will tell you that. Even when he was reduced to the size of a fertilized egg in a teenager's womb, he was fully God. So that's the first important thing about the doctrine of the virgin birth. The other reason that the virgin birth is so important is it confirms that Jesus didn't have the birth defects that we all have. Because of Adam and Eve and the fall, we're all born with sin. Okay, a baby can't sin, you think, but there's something in us that makes us sin as we develop. Jesus didn't have that. Jesus was the only person since Adam and Eve to be born without sin. What was it Gabriel told Mary? That her baby would be a holy one. And that made him uniquely qualified to bear our sin. You see, if I was to die for your sin, if I look back over the years of my life, there's probably enough that I've done myself to get punished. I don't need yours as well. I've done enough sinning myself to qualify for punishment. So me sacrificing myself for you really wouldn't be that big a deal. It'd just be a few more onto my fairly long list already. But for Jesus, who was sinless, to die for us, that's a true sacrifice. He was the sacrificial lamb without blemish who would die for the sins of the world. So his virgin birth brought him into the world without our sin heritage. I hope you're getting that, because that's really important. The third thing that Mary knew was that her son would be the promised Messiah. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end. The Israelites were waiting for a Messiah to free them from the Romans. They expected a Messiah who would be a descendant of King David, a mighty warrior. And Mary knew that her baby would be the one that the Jews had waited for so long. But she also knew that her baby would save all people from their sins. That it would be the sacrificial lamb for all, not just the Jews. And she learned this from her fiancé, Joseph. He had a dream where an angel said to him, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sins. And the name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means God saves. Jesus means God saves. So if these are the things that Mary knew, what did she not understand? Well, she didn't understand that it'd be controversial. Mary didn't know that her son would be hated. For all the parents here, imagine that your daughter or son is hated universally. What a burden that must be. You all want the best for your children. You don't want them to be hated. But Mary didn't understand that. She didn't understand he would perform miracles, although his first miracle was prompted by Mary. Here they are at the wedding at Cana, and Mary's finished her wine. Gives Jesus a nudge. I've ran out of wine. Jesus, what do you expect me to do? I've ran out of wine. Phew, voila. So maybe she did know that he would be a miracle maker. She didn't know that Jesus would be a healer, that he would raise people from the dead, he would heal the sick. His lifestyle was beyond anything Mary could imagine. Another thing Mary couldn't have understood was that her son was born with one purpose, and that was to die. Again, I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but I think one of the most awful things is for a parent to lose a child, regardless how old that child may be. Mary didn't know her son was born to die. There was a hint when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to be circumcised. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. On his eighth day, an old man named Simeon gave her a clue. He directed this ominous prediction to Mary: a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's that two word. Not only will he have a hard life, a sword will pierce your soul as well, too. He was predicting that day on Calvary when Mary's heart would break, when she would see her son on the cross, that cross that's been the symbol of Christianity ever since Jesus died on a crude wooden Roman cross. And yet Jesus transformed that cross from a symbol of punishment and death to a sign of forgiveness, salvation, and hope. Mary didn't know how Jesus would save people from their sins. She couldn't have imagined the horror that she would go through witnessing that. All mothers make sacrifices for their children. But was there ever a mother who suffered as much as Mary? In closing then, long ago, a young mother named Mary sacrificed enormously in order for God to save people like you and I. When God called, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word." And she gave herself to the Lord without question or condition. And there was an enormous cost for her. But in the process, her life was fulfilled and glorified. There's only one Mary in history, and that's the mother of our Lord. What does that say to us? Let it be to me according to your word. Whenever and wherever God finds a willing person to serve him, then he can use that person to further his kingdom. Could God be asking us to make ourselves available to him in 2024? There's lots of tasks needing done. And God has a task designed uniquely for each one of us. Claiming that task may cost us, but it'll give our lives fulfillment. And that's a wonderful gift to receive at any time of the year, not just Christmas. God's waiting for each of us to say the words of Mary: "I am the Lord's servant, and let it be to me according to your word." So this Christmas, may you consider giving another gift. You don't have to wrap this one. Give of yourselves. Give of yourself to God in service. There's a hurting world out there. No shortage of opportunities to represent him in Christian service. I am the Lord's servant, and let it be to me according to your word. And may God bless you all. Amen. Now,